Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. My name is Kirk Henderson, and I am joined, as always, by Josh Bowe. We are editors over at MavsMoneyBall.com, and we come to you on a truly, shockingly joyous Wednesday evening. Josh, how are you?
Doing quite all right. We're making it through one game at a time. Why is it so joyous today?
See, this is what happens when you turn on your computer, which is the equivalent of turning a cruise ship because it takes you a few minutes. The Dallas Mavericks lost 135-120 to the Hawks. Okay, that's one thing. But here's the other two things that happened in the closing minutes of that game. The New Orleans Pelicans beat the shit out of the Los Angeles Clippers 124-109, and the Memphis Grizzlies beat the Denver Nuggets 125-118.
Wow.
So if you're paying attention to how the math works, the Dallas Mavericks are now a full game ahead in the tankathon standings, a full game ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans and two full games ahead of Memphis Grizzlies. They are locked. They are in the sixth spot, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal because the Mavericks are, the thing about the Dallas Mavericks is that they're actually not terrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of not terrible.
Can everyone stop bitching about that win against, what was it? Was it a win against Memphis or whatever?
Yes.
Can everyone start bitching about that now? Like it just, you know, it all evens out in a way.
You know, I didn't see as much as I would have thought. Now, maybe this is just me making a more dedicated effort to be.
You've been better about getting people out of. Also, you've filtered your social media feeds. I think
I'm not sure. I really love being a shit heel on the internet. And I think that life has made it as such to where I haven't been able to be online. But I also think that there's enough, the Mavericks fans who are paying attention fall into kind of one of two buckets. You're either old hat enough to where you understand where this goes, or you're young enough to where you are still full of piss and vinegar and you understand, but you don't really care. And you're just mad when they win. And you know, tonight, you know, they play the Memphis Grizzlies, who were streaking. It was so funny. I listened to the Hoop Collective podcast, and Brian Windhorst, like every 6 weeks or so, the jovial reporter Brian Windhorst becomes like, fuck this, I'm going to go off on a tangent. He just tore this Hawks 10-game win streak apart by sort of like going game by game, listing both opponents, dates of rest, and et cetera. And he's like, he more or less said that he doesn't believe in the Hawks whatsoever. Fine. Very funny. The Hawks are playing pretty good basketball at a pretty good time. And they came in tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, they got up early, never really let their foot off the gas. The Mavericks just, when you watch them play right now, I don't know. This is when you watch them play at this particular moment. This is when I would start to question coaching staff, because like they've stopped playing hard. Their defense is abysmal. Their rotation, there's just so much sort of sad about the Mavericks right now that I wish we had other things to talk about. And if you're still listening to the show, the second half, or maybe even the second two thirds of the show, will be dedicated to the NCAA draft.
There's only so much we could talk about with these games, man. I mean, they're all exactly the same.
Well,
they are.
I mean, but you know, and look, one of the reasons why we probably aren't a bigger show, and this is just facts, is like we are often very critical of the Mavericks, you and me both. And it's not really fun being critical. And like on the positive front, you have PJ Washington returning, like PJ Washington being a functional basketball player as a small ball five is actually really nice. On the negative front, we have another really rough looking Cooper Flagg game. Actually, I don't know. Rough is probably unfair.
No, but, bad, not great shooting, six turnovers. Depends on how much you want to say it's rough, is it's his fault, or how much we want to get into ref talk again.
Ref talk, but also, you know, we have a contributor, Jack, who's come in here a few times, and Jack's big beef with, let's talk about Cooper first. Let's just get out of the way. Cooper finishes 6 of 15 from the floor. He has 17 points, 0 of 3 from three-point range, 5 of 6 from the line, which is good, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 turnovers, which is not good, and 4 stocks. You love to see the stocks. Him being effective on defense is actually the thing we've talked about the most or the least this year. He's such a versatile defender. And, you know, when you watch a team like the Hawks, which everybody has length, that's sort of what maybe you hope the Mavericks are able to build defensively one day, because Cooper as a disruptor is all over the place. But the offensive stuff, I don't want to say it's alarming, because I think he's going to be just fine, but he doesn't want to shoot three-pointers right now because he's not hitting them. And as a result, teams are just playing off him. They're daring him to drive into like the 12 to 15-foot range, and then they're hoping to stop him with that sort of like, you know, the floater, the jumper, whatever you want to call it, in that 12 to 15-foot range. If he gets closer, it's usually a better shot. But teams are kind of closing off, and he's just not able to look great. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the missing piece for him. And he was kind of getting there before he got hurt, and it feels like he got reset back to one when he got hurt, which makes sense because he was off his feet for basically 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think he said that's like the longest he's gone without playing basketball, like an organized game or something, other than like the off season. He's never really had a long injury, I don't think. In his high school and his one year at Duke. So it clearly threw him off. And then when he got hurt, it was before the trade deadline. So then he comes back. I mean, I guess that doesn't really matter. Anthony Davis wasn't playing when he got hurt anyway. But it was still kind of a different vibe. Now he comes back and you could tell I think I said this before. And that's why I said these games all kind of feel the same, because they're kind of going the same way. But I still feel like it feels like he got transported back in time to like mid-November, where he was still kind of trying to figure it out, and that heater that he was on, you know, it obviously he's cooled off a bit, although he had a couple of good games before this one. But yeah, he needs to learn how to shoot, and that'll be the big thing going into the offseason. That'll be the big thing for him going into next season, is can he confidently hit spot up threes? He doesn't have to take a ton, but can he take enough pull-up threes to at least make the defense think about how they want to guard him in the pick and roll? Because right now there's no decision, right? Like, the best way to attack a defense is making them think and making them have to do stuff. If a defense can lock in on one thing and not have to make a decision, it's very hard to score when a defense can kind of sit on something and not have to adapt. So he'll have to do that.
And let me give you a prime example. It was had to be in the first half. I see Cooper drive from the top left. So he's on the left side of the floor, and he drives towards the left elbow, and he eventually kicks out to the far right corner, Najee Marshall. The defender of Marshall was essentially sitting in the short corner, knowing it was fine. That if he gave Najee Marshall space to, you know, he wasn't jumping the gap. He didn't have the ability to do that, because if he was that high up, Cooper probably would have kept going to the rim. And instead, what happened was he passed out and Najee bricks a three. Right now, and that's more of a team construction thing than anything else. But the way, like the situations that Dallas is putting Cooper in right now, I don't find them to be remotely advantageous. And I don't really understand the point. Cooper playing point guard and passing amongst no space is like, what sort of habits is that teaching? You know, he had this interview with Malika Andrews that was quite good, but he talked about like learning how to lose, and like that should make you want to throw up in your mouth a little bit. This is one of the most winning players in high school basketball history talking about dealing with losing, and that fucking sucks.
Yeah, there's no way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they could maybe do, I mean, they're starting a point guard. Mm-hmm. They're playing small ball five to make a better, to make this, the spacing as best as it, like the way they fix it, like they have to fix the roster. There's nothing they can do right now to make it any better. I mean, they're still playing all the vets. They're like, it could get worse. Like we talked about before, like the last 2 weeks of the season, it could, you know, they could be like some of these other tanking teams and like PJ and Najee and Daniel Gafford and Klay Thompson, like go to the farm. And he's playing with two-way guys and G leaguers and undrafted free agents and all that kind of stuff. So it could certainly get uglier. They're letting him play with the most talent that the roster allows for. And Kidd is finally like playing him with a point guard, which Nimhard had 12 assists and zero turnovers, which is kind of funny, but also got destroyed on defense. But that's neither here nor there. But the offense was actually okay in this game. And Flag, you know, he had his moments. But yeah, it's just he's got to learn to shoot. The team needs better table setters so he doesn't have to do all of it. The roster has to get better, and he just needs a better whistle, which is not – none of those things are going to change for these last, you know, 15 or so games or 10 or whatever, how many games are left. So it's just kind of a take your vegetables and eat it and just try to get through healthy – play the best you can, and then we'll see where he's at next October.
Yep. You know, there was 18 turnovers in this game. The Hawks are all length, and if the Mavericks don't have dribble penetration and if they don't have, like, pure point guard play, you know, you look at Ryan Nemhard, he has 12 assists and zero turnovers, like kind of a laugh-out-loud performance in the sense of he did his job. Like, I want to commend the guy, but I also watched numerous clips of him getting posted up at the high elbow, and he's not big enough. He's not big enough. And no, yeah.
The Hawks got whatever they wanted tonight. Like,
yes,
30 points in every quarter, 54% shooting. They had 72 points in the paint, which I think the Maverick New Orleans had 68 the other night. Like, and that's with Marv, you know, Daniel Gafford coming back and playing 22 minutes. They can't guard a paper sack right now.
No,
it's not great.
And it was Mass Filmroom who tweeted, how is the defense going to get better this next year? And like, this is where I don't have a good answer because I want to criticize the coaching, but I also think it's also roster construction. You know, it's basketball is one of these sports where having the best player changes a lot of the math. Not to be me, but Luka Doncic in the Lakers is a great example where it's like he's playing out of his mind right now, so it changes the Lakers' ceiling. On defense, your kind of worst player ends up impacting what you're able to do or what you're not able to do realistically. Like the Mavericks right now, when they throw out Nimhard, he's just a source of attack. I mean, he was a negative 18 in 27 minutes. So were all the other Mavs. So it's not just his fault. But like he's the place where the defenses are going to attack. So, you know, as we talk about, you know, we're gonna pivot here shortly, talk about NCAA tournament, you know, Thursday, Friday, and then you know, we'll probably have these guys back on at some point, just if the games are worth talking about. You want to be looking at guards and you want to be looking at team construction. And like I am, you know, and Tyler, this is funny. I don't want to set Tyler up this way, but like Tyler and I are probably the most anti Darius Acuff Jr. people within the Mavs sphere, largely because those guys, like he doesn't play defense.
Is he small?
Yeah. We don't know. He's listed as 6'3". He looks like a brick shit house. Like he is not a small 6'3". He is a. God, do you remember that guy who used to lurk in the comments and constantly defend Maxi Kleber? And he talked about Fred VanVleet's defense. Do you remember?
Oh, that? Yeah.
Where he was correct about Fred VanVleet, where it's like Fred VanVleet's defensive outcome is sort of the hope for a guy like Darius Acuff. And unfortunately, he plays on an Arizona team where they need every ounce of his offense. And so he's forgiven by being bad on defense. But if you have Cooper, I like two small guards doesn't do it for me. Like Kyrie and Darius. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not, if the Mavericks draft the guy, I'll be excited. But it's just like when I watch this game, that's where my, and meaning this Hawks game, that's where my head goes, where it's like, all right, the Mavericks can't have someone who gets constantly picked on defense. Anyway. No. Do you have anything else? We'll go to break.
Jonathan Kuminga made a hilarious buzzer beater. Did you see that?
That was amazing.
Where he's trying to do the full court baseball pass to an open teammate. It just goes in the bucket.
Do you know how excited I am to not have to talk about him?
Yes. Yes. He would he's playing great in Atlanta,
but he also misses a ton of games, but he's just like an eye test, like monstrosity. He just is. It's the best. Anyways. All right. We'll be right back. Three ways to support the show. First, subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to our podcast. It is appreciated. The second is listen to the ads. Those ads are how Josh and I get paid. Probably if we were to rate out the hourly wage, we wouldn't be happy with ourselves, but we're not going to worry about that right now. The third way to support the show is there are a couple of links within. After we come back from break, we're going to talk a little NCAA tournament with our man Tyler. So hang out. Okay, thanks so much for waiting here. I will do a after show at some point. Might do one this weekend. If there's any good NCAA talk, if there's any good NCAA games, maybe I will host a show where like Tyler and Ryan and some of the folks on our Mavs Moneyball Slack can come just, talk about the games. We're not really sure what we're going to do yet. The Mavericks don't play Thursday or Friday, but then they play again on Saturday. Josh will be doing the Saturday game with somebody else other than me because my wife has asked that I take her out on a date and I want to stay married. So I'm going to do that. Anyway, we're kind of unsure what's going to be happening the next couple of days. Hopefully we'll have content for you guys. Coming up, Tyler, what's up, brother?
How are you guys? Excited to hijack the show with Draft Talk once again.
Josh is real excited because it means he doesn't have to, he can hear you and then he can watch whatever games or have them on in the background as both he and I struggle with having children home during spring break. Talk to us. What's on your mind? What should we be paying attention to?
Well, tomorrow I think is going to be a very fun day of basketball. Let's start with, you guys were just talking about Acuff. His Arkansas Razorbacks actually do play tomorrow.
Ooh.
At 3:25 against Hawaii. If you haven't watched much Hawaii this year, I don't blame you. They always play at midnight because Hawaii. But they play a very unique style of defense. They basically play like the deepest drop you've ever seen, and they basically play no help. So against Acuff, Malik Thomas, the other Arkansas guard who's likely to go late first, more in that second Mavs pick range in the first round. Isolation ball with those two is probably not the best strategy, so they might throw out like a zone. But if they stay home and actually do that, like Acuff could legitimately have 40 tomorrow.
Is he just one of these guys? So Brian, who shows up fairly regularly, he's a contributor of Mavs Moneyball, but he comes on the after show too. He thinks that Acuff's floor is sixth in the draft. What do you think about that statement? I love the take.
I don't think it's sixth. I do think it's eighth. Committed himself top eight.
Okay.
Personally, I would still have Wagler over him. I'd still have Flemings over him.
Really? You would have the guy who wasn't ranked in high school stuff above. Wow.
So let me walk through this. Part of my piece that went up today on MavsMoneyball.com, the West Region preview, which is where Arkansas is playing. I put a clip in there of one of Darius Acuff's defensive plays from the SEC tournament. And it's one thing to be listed 6'3". It's another thing to probably only be 6'1". And it's another thing entirely to be 6'1" and not give any effort whatsoever on the defensive end. I don't know if it's the health thing. He's had a foot injury on and off. I don't know if it's just Cal kind of letting him he can just do what he needs to offensively, or if it's just truly he's small, doesn't care about defense, and that's what he's going to be, and it's just going to be that way. I need to find an answer to that, and until I do, I just think there's a cap on him.
Okay, okay. Well, tell us what's next then.
Also on Thursday, tomorrow is the 19th. I know Roby down there, our guy Brian, talking about Mykael Brown, who will not be playing the first weekend of the NCAA tournament due to a back injury, quote unquote. Concerning because they are very liable to lose South Florida. They're basically the same team, same athletic profile. It's going to be a tight game. So enjoy watching that one tomorrow. That one tips off at 12:30. And Duke plays tomorrow, which is going to be interesting with Cam Boozer.
Talk to us about that game a little bit. What is going on? Because they're number one seed, but aren't they effectively missing their point guard?
They're missing two starters. Whoa. So their point guard, Caleb Foster, he is in a walking boot and a scooter. Doesn't sound like he'll be back till the Final Four at the earliest. And then their center, who was actually a guy the Mavs could have looked at late first round, Pat Ngongba. He's been out for about 2 or 3 weeks now. Shire said today that he is likely not going to play the first weekend. He's just not there yet. So that puts a lot on Cam Boozer because his brother Caden is now taking over point guard responsibilities. And with all due respect to the Boozers, Carlos, Cam, Caden, Caden stinks. He's not there yet as a player.
Question. Is there, I understand what you mean. Like you're not saying he's terrible. You're saying he's not ready to be the number one seed point guard for a Division I team.
He's not ready to play 30 actually, minutes game for Duke.
Okay. Okay.
This now, year he's been like 15 minutes.
Okay. So with that said, you know, as they go up against the 16 seed and either the eighth and the ninth seed, can he get them into the second weekend?
I think Cam can get them there. The Siena, I mean, that game's going to be gross. So okay. I wouldn't necessarily, unless you've just got nothing else to do, like Siena plays super slow. That game's just going to be grimy. But against, I think TCU, who is playing Ohio State in the 8-9 game, I think TCU could give Duke a run without those two starters. TCU has a big David Punch. He's awesome. He's really fun college big. So if TCU's physical, they can kind of physical Duke. That would be a legit tough game for them.
All right. All right. I mean, I'm a little bit Duke biased in that. I mentioned this to Josh on the last show. I feel like every other team the Mavericks play has a Duke forward that was really fucking good. And, you know, you watch, you know, these guys play, and I saw that clip of Duke versus Michigan. It was the halftime clip where a guy I don't even know was like, here's how we end up. He, like, goes to the whiteboard, and it's a player like Matt. I'm just kind of – like, that sort of stuff for, like, a 41-year-old dad. Like, I'm like, yes!
So that player was Isaiah Evans. He's a sophomore guard, good 3-point shooter. He'll probably be in this draft somewhere in the second round. I think more towards early second round than mid where the Mavs will be picking, but he's a legit shooter. He's kind of a intriguing guy that some team is going to take a flyer on. Whether he hits or not is anybody's guess, but he can shoot the ball.
Love it. Love it. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I interrupted you. Josh, do you have any questions so far?
No, my main thing, I mean, you're kind of hitting on it, and this is kind of a broader question, not just related to NCAA tournament, but as someone who isn't watching college basketball, like, if the Mavericks are, like, you know, picking in that 6-8 range, obviously they need a guard, and everyone keeps telling me, like, this is the guard-heavy draft. Like, who is your fate? Like, is it Mykael Brown, the Louisville kid that you talked about? Like, are there going to be enough high ceiling guards still left? Is this like a top five draft? Or everyone keeps saying it's a good draft, but just let me know what you think about the guards that the Mavericks could be picking. I mean, you've kind of already been doing that already, talking about who's playing on Thursday, but like, What is your sense of what's going to be there in that 6 to 8 draft pick range for guards?
Sure. So this draft, I would say guard wise, especially, is top 8. That's kind of why I was.
So you don't want to be below 8.
You do not want to be 8. That's why when the Mavs were kind of floating around 7th, 8th, 9th in the tank race, I was a little on edge a bit, because I think after 8, assuming there's not a forward or a center who jumps, and the ones who I would have thought would have are all hurt or playing terribly. So it's going to be the top 8, and it's going to be Peterson going top 3, and then the other 3 being Caleb Wilson, AJ DeBonsa, and Cam Boozer. Those will be your top 4. 5 through 8 are going to be likely those 4 guards in Kingston Fleming, Keaton Wagler, Darius Acuff, and Mykael Brown. Now, that's assuming Mykael medically green flags at the combine, which I will be interested in. I think he's okay. It sounds like there could be a little bit more going on than what meets the public eye with him sitting out this weekend, which brings up a different can of worms if you want a guy who is not playing in the NCAA tournament for whatever reason. But I do think that there is the top 8 cutoff, and why the Mavs being at 6 right now is really, really good, because that means you're looking at like a 95, 96% chance you're going to be in that range
of the top 8. Yes. Just to be clear, and on the video, I pulled up the NBA Tankathon projections. 5th is arguably the funniest place to be, because it's just a very upsetting place where you could go 1st or you could go 9th.
Yeah.
But 6th is pretty, pretty remarkable, where you stand roughly a 50% chance of being 7, like drafting 7th or 8th, but that's what we're okay with. Is what you're telling us.
Yeah, I'd be totally fine sitting there and picking. It's kind of interesting. Like I said it on our mock draft pod, it's kind of just like an ice cream shop. You just go and pick your favorite flavor of what you're looking for there in a guard, because those are going to be your 4 that are there. It's just whether you want to pick 1st and have your select flavor. You could pick last and just take whoever's left. You'll end up with a good player. It's just kind of dealer's choice, but you know, me personally, I think being as high up there as possible to give yourself the most chance to take good players is always a good place to be.
So I see Mavs Moneyball contributor, Mr. Roby, down there. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys? Can you hear me?
I mean, we're just talking a little basketball. So I just sort of badgered, or Josh and I just sort of badgered Tyler on some of the lottery stuff, but he had just finished talking about Duke and sort of their prospects. What else are you excited about? And I don't want to derail Tyler, but what are you kind of excited about? Both. Let's just go with tomorrow first, and then we can maybe pivot into Friday.
I mean, tomorrow, Tyler, let me know if I'm wrong. Does Alabama play tomorrow?
They're Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm really interested in watching the Bear Final.
Friday is probably going to be my favorite out of the two.
Okay. So do we need to wrap up Thursday?
Tomorrow, yeah. Tyler Tanner and Vandy might be the only other guy that I'd like sit down and watch, but it's because I freaking love that kid.
So it's Tyler Tanner is a 6 foot tall guard out of Vanderbilt, to where if the Mavericks draft him, I will fucking scream. But if you want to watch good basketball and fun basketball, I do think that's a great game to watch. My son, I let him choose all my NCAA brackets, and he's like, "Who's Vandy?" And I'm like, "It's Vanderbilt. Don't worry about it." Okay, so we're mostly wrapped up with Thursday. Then Brian, why don't you lead us off into Friday? Talk about Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama has 2 players that I'm super, super interested in potentially seeing be Mavericks on draft day. Big wing and Amari Allen that can shoot, defend, rebound, create a bit on ball, pass. He's a really – oh, okay. Keaton Wagler does play tomorrow. Okay, that's the other guy that I was looking for.
They play Penn. Come on.
Yeah, they're gonna beat Penn. So that might be more of a who are we interested in on Saturday kind of discussion.
Yeah, like if you're watching for players, yeah, watch Wagler tomorrow. But, you know.
If there's interest, and if you guys are like jazzed up enough about this, we will probably do Thursday, Friday recaps. At least I will, because I'm interested in hearing what you guys think. just so we can go ahead and we'll circle back to Wagler later, assuming they beat Penn. Because if they don't beat Penn, that's a whole other question.
Yeah.
So go ahead and talk about Alabama.
But yeah, no, Amari Allen, he's a guy I'd love for us to. So it depends where, like right now, he's kind of being mocked in the early 20s range, like just kind of out of range of where our OKC pick is. So we probably have to take that pick and use one of like the vets that we're trying to move off of, PJ, Najee, Gafford, you know, somebody like that, and use that pick, move up to late teens, early 20s, try and draft him there. I'd love to have him. LeBaron Filon is a guy that I've been kind of hot on as a player all season long. I was pretty
going back to last season. Yeah.
Well, I wanted, if we were going to end up with like the 10th or the 11th pick last year, I wanted us to draft him then as a freshman. So yeah, he's come back to school. He's improved pretty much on all the things that people said that he needed to. He became a better shooter. He became a better pull-up shooter. He became a better on-ball creator. The defense slipped a bit, but that's because his usage skyrocketed, going from playing off of Mark Sears his freshman year and now being the guy with the ball and leading Alabama's offense. He's been really good at it, and I think that put in a role on this team where he doesn't have the entire creation burden on his shoulders, playing next to a guy like Cooper Flagg and then also next to Kyrie Irving as well, because I'm assuming since LeBaron is skinny but still 6'4", he'd probably be playing off of Kyrie. He'd be able to bring a bit more of that defensive juice that he had his freshman year. And yeah, he's just a solid playmaker, solid shooter, good finisher, good at pretty much everything.
How big is he, do we think?
I
he went to the combine last year, so his measurements are legit.
What were they? I don't remember.
They were like, I want to say,
I'll go find them.
That's okay. Yeah. No, but he's big though. Like we feel confident that he's a good size.
Yeah, it was like closer to 6'3" than 6'4", but I'd bet he's probably around like 6'3.5", and yeah, like 175. So still probably needs to put on some weight, but he's gonna get to like 180, 185.
See, that still kind of worries me. And here's why. So just hear me out. Mm-hmm. When you watch a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who is thin but strong, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, how do you compete with that? And that's not a fair standard because you're asking, all right, how do you compete with the MVP? But that is sort of my, you know, that's just where my head is if you're building a team where it's like, how do you guard that guy? And if you're a smaller point guard, I need you to be at least strong as Knox. So I don't know. I could be wrong, but I do like him because I've watched a couple of Alabama games, and he seems to have like very firm control of an offense, and I just like that about a player.
He's got a knack. I really really like watching him play. He understands, like you said, he understands the offense. And there was a clip where he kind of went viral against Tennessee, where he got the switch, the big guy on him, and he kind of like. So he pulls him back a little bit, kind of shakes his head, and then goes to work. Like, he's very confident in his abilities. There's a reason he's played well down the stretch. It's because he's kind of in that flow state. And I will say I'm very interested to watch Bama, particularly without Aiden Holloway, who, of course, was recently arrested, and that's neither here nor there. He would have been interesting. Holloway's a 44% shooter from three, so – being without him in the tournament could be tough, but it'll be more for Filon to have to do. So I'm excited to kind of see him orchestrate without him there.
Okay. Good talk. All right. Who else do we got on Friday?
I do want to go back. I missed one on Thursday. Can't believe I missed it. It was up there in the Arkansas quadrant. BYU plays Texas, which means we get the Daylon Swain versus AJ DeBonta battle.
Okay.
Which will be a ton of fun. Ton of fun. AJ is playing great basketball right now. This BYU team without Richie Saunders, they stink. They can't guard anybody. So this game against Texas is going to be really up and down because they also can't guard anybody.
How have the Texas BYU games been prior? Because they're both in the Big 12, which is not a sentence that makes sense to me.
Well, they're not. Texas is in the SEC now.
Fuck!
So they have not played this year.
Okay, that's wonderful, actually. That's really fun.
So this is going to be fun because AJ's likely going to draw Darren. Or not Darren. Okay. Jeez, I'm getting my wires crossed here. He's likely going to draw Dalen.
That's what you want. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And AJ gets up for these big games. Okay. We saw it when they played Kansas. Like, he might not have shot it well, but like, he was up for that game. He got BYU to win two games in 2 days in the Big 12, starting day one, and they nearly pull off a third. Like, he's shown these abilities to get up for these games, so I'm expecting a big-time performance. I just don't know if it'll be enough because this Texas team, when they are going offensively, they can go, and a lot of that is Dalen Swain is just, like, he's outdoing any and all expectations I had for him.
Okay.
During conference play, he's 50% from the floor, 37 or 8% from three, and like 83% from the free throw line. This is not a guy who I envisioned being that. And he's scoring 20 game on really good efficiency, and he's guarding. Like, it's awfully impressive. He is with, I think there's some numbers out there on draft Twitter that basically like points per possession and ISO. The best isolation player in college basketball this season has been Dalen Swain. It's pretty remarkable to see. So seeing those two go head-to-head, kind of iso ball, likely against each other quite a bit, sign me up. It'll be a good
time. Sounds fantastic. Man, okay. Friday, what do we got?
Texas Tech plays, which they're without JT Toppin, which means my guy Christian Anderson is basically running the entire show. He's 42.5% from three this year on 8 attempts a game. Really, really good shooter. Pound for pound might be the best in the draft this side of Momchilovich, that Iowa State kid. They're playing Akron, and Tech could very easily lose this game. They're just three-point variance monsters these days. Like, remember the old school Mavs where Josh had his flow chart? It's like, did the Mavs make threes? Yes, they are a title contender. That's Texas Tech. It's like, did they shoot 40% from three? Yes, they won. Did they not? No, they lost, and they could lose to anybody. So that's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I love Christian Anderson as a player. I've made that felt throughout Mavs Moneyball this year. So if he has a stinker and they lose to Akron, I don't know if I'll be able to recover from that one.
Sure, sure. No, I get it. Brian, what else do you have for Friday that you're kind of psyched about?
I mean, we also have Arizona playing. They're playing LIU, I want to say, at 12:35. I love Braden Burries.
Talk to me about Braden Burries, because what's the elevator pitch for Braden Burries? Because all I heard earlier in the year was Koa Pete, and he is now, as we discussed earlier on our Mavs Moneyball Slack, he is not really a draft prospect this year. So what's the deal with Burries?
What if Quentin Grimes, but better shooter?
Ooh.
And a bit more athletic.
That's quite a basketball player. Like, that's an old school two guard is what you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 6'4", 205, pretty stout kid, solid athlete, can make some defensive plays here and there, but he's still got a lot to learn on that side of the ball. But shooting was not his strong suit coming out of high school, and he has been kind of lights out as a guy off the catch. Really good mechanic, shot always looked pretty consistent. I think he's shooting on the year. What did he finish for the regular season? Like 38, 39%?
He's 37 and change, 37 okay. and a half, something like that.
That's like that. That's the difference of like two makes over the course of 30 games. That's fine.
And on decent volume, too, for a college guy. He's over four, near four and a half a game on attempts. Like, yeah.
Yeah, this is as being like the guy who was like second to, like, this is supposed to be Cole Pete's game.
Why the hell is Arizona ranked so high?
They play unique basketball. They don't really shoot a ton of threes, which is why it's more impressive to me that Burries is 37.5, 38% on 4.5 attempts a game, because as a team, Arizona shoots like – they're like bottom 10% in all of college basketball on three-point rate. They just don't shoot them.
I mean, the short answer is like they have the best rim protector in the country, not Nemhad Amora, probably.
Yeah, which
that's really what it is.
So their center, he's been coming on lately. His name is Mo Krivas. He's a Lithuanian dude. He's 7'2", like 250, 260 pounds. He's going to be, if he comes out in this draft class, which I don't know if he will, But if he does, he's going to be probably like my number one target there for the Mavs at 29, 30, wherever they pick. I think he's got some tools. He's got decent touch around the rim. I do think he needs to, as funny as it is to say, I do think he needs to bulk up a little bit. He's a little thin. He carries 260 really well. So he kind of gets pushed off a spot, gets a little bit more into like your, instead of their layups, they're like 4 or 5 foot push shots, floaters, kind of running hooks type stuff. He's got good touch on those, but it's not necessarily things that I would say would be sustainable. But there's something there. I do think he's kind of risen up the board for a reason. It's because he's, like Brian said, he's this side of a Day Mara. He's the best rim protector in college basketball.
Okay. That's actually going to be, because rim protection is one of those things that you don't really consider until the game starts to slow just a bit. And somebody like that can make a big difference. All right. What else we got Friday, Tyler?
So Friday we are going to be able to see Bennett Sturts. If you care about him, they're playing Clemson. One of the best half court point guard operators in college basketball. He'd be again, kind of a later first round type guy. I think the Ringer actually on their big board today had him like 13th or 14th. So that was a little bit higher than what I would have thought. But nonetheless, that'll be a fun one. The only other one on Friday that I kind of want to focus on is Darren Peterson in Kansas. As we were kind of talking about earlier, a couple fluff pieces have come out recently discussing some of the things going on with him. Full body cramps, ended up in the hospital. Interesting that they came out now. He's got a chance to capitalize on it, though, because they're going to play Cal Baptist, who they should get through, and then they're going to play a St. John's team that, I mean, physically is just going to try to wear him down. So it's going to be a big couple days for Darren here if he can get them to the Sweet 16, where they'd likely see Duke. This is going to be – like, Darren needs to show up and play these games. He's actually played here recently, which is good. He's averaging like 37.5 minutes a game over the last 5 or 6.
Holy shit.
Problem is Kansas has lost most of them. So, like, I don't quite know what to make of that. So if you can give 100% Darren Peterson for 6 games – they've got as good a chance as anybody is coming out of that bracket, because I think when he's right, he's that good. I just don't know if he is. So I'm super interested to see him. I know, Brian, you and David were going to write about that in your post, because I do think he might be the guy with the most to prove in this tournament.
Yeah, he certainly got the most of game in my mind. Cam Boozer is Cam Boozer. He's going to go where he's going to go in the top three. AJ DeBonta has pretty much played all season. He's had his ups and downs, but he's shown pretty steady improvement in some of the things that people have wanted to see in terms of the jump shot, really giving some defensive flashes, especially in the, what was it, the Iowa State game, where he just like shut down Mosilovich all game. Darren, the highs have been ridiculously high with him. The lows have been kind of confounding, a bit confusing, to say the least. We need to see him play. We need to see him play well. We know he can. It would just be nice to see it, right? Especially against competition is going to ramp up as we get further into the tournament. Him playing as much as he has lately is good, but it's kind of indicative of what I kind of caught on to early in the season. Hey, man, he's kind of their entire offense. Like, they were making it work for a couple of weeks without him when he missed with the hamstring issue early. But and people, you know, start to talk about how, well, maybe they don't necessarily need him to come back and do so much. No. When he comes back and when he plays, there's a reason that Bill Self throws him out there for as long as he possibly can until his body can't withstand it, because they don't have anything on offense if it's not.
Right. It strikes me as one, the way you're describing it, and I've not watched these games, but it's like when the Mavericks didn't have Anthony Davis before he got traded, they could make it work for about 2 to 3 games, but eventually there's enough tape to where you go, oh, here's how we attack. And if you don't have Darren Peterson, what you're describing is like, oh, here's how we shut down the offense, and this is how we do it. It doesn't really matter how many talented players they have. Okay, that's really interesting. What else do we have for Friday? Anything good?
I think more of Friday. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are injured that I'd love to see. Like, I know, Brian, you're pretty high on Quaintance at Kentucky. He hasn't played in a while. So,
nope.
That would have been fun seeing him and Alan Graves at Santa Clara, but we're not going to get that one. The Iowa State guys, we might see more of them in the second round. That'd be a they play, you know, Tennessee State, coached by Nolan Smith, the old Duke guard, which is
that's fantastic.
So that's a fun story. That's not going to be a competitive game, though.
Sure.
Beyond that, like, I mean, I'm just more once we get through those games, we'll see where chalk held. Like, we could end up with Wisconsin and Arkansas on Saturday, which would be two dynamic backcourts going up against each other, with the winner getting Arizona. Like, that would be tons and tons of fun. You've got the Michigan guys playing Thursday with, like, Yaxel and Merez Johnson, Dave Mara. They're going to get through no problem. This thing is going to really start to get cranked up here Friday, and then into Saturday. It should be Saturday, Sunday should be bangers only. I'm okay. Really, really excited to see it.
Well, now if that's the case, I'm going to have to reconvene with one or both of you to talk about this sort of stuff. Cause like I will have this stuff on. I will have no idea what the fuck I'm watching. Like I don't try to act like I understand basketball the first time I watch it. It's mainly like a two, three time, you know, like reading Josh and being like, oh, yeah, that's how the thing happened. So, Josh, I talked the whole time. Do you have any questions? You're muted. That's amazing.
Sorry, I was muted. I didn't want to interrupt while Tyler was running through the schedule. No, I don't really have much else because I think Tyler kind of covered it for me. That's nice. I like having a nice little refresher.
Hell yeah.
I don't get to watch. So
me
like,
either. You know, this is great.
Right, yeah. Being like, I felt like I just did the Spark Notes like right before my English exam.
That's why.
Yes. So that's good. Thank you, Tyler. I'm excited to watch. I am a Kansas man. I went there for two my freshman and sophomore year. That's where I went to college. So that's kind of my college team. So I'll hope Darren Peterson isn't cramping up and see if my Jayhawks can go on another run.
Current you is probably a better center than Florio Badunga. So,
oh my God, don't say that.
Tyler's not a fan of that kid.
I love just college provokes the most. So, last question for each of you: is there a white guy out there who will ruin a bracket?
Maybe not a white guy, but there's a guy that was nicknamed Mexican Luca, who you might.
Yes. Tell me about him. Doesn't he? Oh God, who does he play for?
Victor David Valdez. He plays for Troy, and they're playing Nebraska tomorrow.
Mexican Luca is an S-tier nickname.
Wait, he plays for Troy.
He plays for the Troy Trojans, coached by former UTA coach.
That's Scott right. Paul. Shout out to Scott Cross. I had a good relationship with him when I was. At UT Arlington and working for the student paper.
That's so amazing. There.
He's a great coach. Probably one of the stupidest decisions a small school has ever made. Like they fired him. Like yeah. He didn't leave. Like they were there's a lot going on there, but I'm glad that he landed on his feet. And it's not shocking to me that he took over another program and is doing all the stuff that they wanted him to do at UTA and he was in the process of doing, but they decided it wasn't good enough for some weird reason. But good for him. Yeah. I root for Troy as well.
So Troy against Nebraska is one that I've got my eye on. And then High Point is playing Wisconsin. High Point's a really small school, but they have like $4 million in NIL money, which is like the most out of any G5 team. And they have legit athletes there. Like
it's like if somebody showed up to Mavs Moneyball with $4 million and all of a sudden I was employing Tim McMahon.
Yeah. So they play at 12:50 tomorrow against Wisconsin. That game is going to be a track meet. Up and down, ton of variance there. So that's an upset. And then, yeah, if Mexican Luca and Troy – they aren't very good 3-point shooters, but if they do happen to go in, they'll beat Nebraska. And
Brian, that would probably
ruin a couple brackets.
Any bracket busters for you that you just like can't let go of?
Oh yeah, I got a white guy that can break it all. So UConn is currently the 2 seed in the Eastern bracket. They have this kid, Braylon Mullins, who has been projected since pretty much since he started college, right?
Purdue, like right?
Top 20 pick. Yeah. And he's like shooter, kind of athletic.
He fucking looks like a Braden. That's the that's the only way I can describe him.
Yeah, he's got like a bowlish cut. Mm-hmm. It's really, yeah.
No, he's got the goddamn broccoli haircut. You just don't want to say it. He looks like someone you would be like, ugh, god damn it, when you see him playing basketball.
Yeah, his head looks like a thorny bush. It's fair. Mm-hmm. They don't really rely on him, but they kind of rely on him because he's supposed to be a shooter and he's supposed to be pretty good. Not in this round. UConn is going to roll through whoever they're playing in the first round. The second round and on, UConn could be upset. They're a really good team. They're a really well-coached team. That kid just has like a 3-for-11 game in him that's going to like actually kind of fuck up what they're trying to do on offense. I don't trust it, man. I'm sorry. I don't see it with that guy.
That's a great descriptor. He has a 3-for-11 game in him that's going to fuck things up. We need to use that in like a 7-game playoff series. Like that's like the Dorian Finney-Smith.
It's the
like,
Tim Hardaway special.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Jalen Green corollary. Yeah.
It's so good. Well, this has just been beyond anything I could have hoped for a bullshit Mavs-Hawks game. Josh is wanting to go to bed, and here I am just like gleefully laughing at this. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Maybe we'll do something tomorrow night and Friday night. I'm not sure. If we do, we'll kind of choose last second to go live. I love hearing you guys talk about basketball. It's a lot of fun. Thanks so much. Anybody got anything before we head out? No?
Go Wildcats, baby.
Good. Everybody be good. Enjoy your tomorrow's Thursday. Jesus. And enjoy your, you know, Thursday, Friday. It's the least two productive days in America, and it's so amazing. They should give us those days off along with the day after the Super Bowl, but I am not allowed to make legislation yet. This has been Kirk Henderson for Josh, Brian, and Tyler. We're all at Mavs Moneyball as well. Thanks so much for listening. Everyone have a good night, and go Mavs.